Trump's national emergency that even he admits isn't actually happening, and a mythical coup attempt. Ed Blakely is a former Washington insider now living in Sydney, Australia. My name's Sean Britton from the radio station 2SER. Each week you can find us on US of Ed, on iTunes, Wooshka, Facebook and Twitter. The national emergency. Trump signalled it was finally going ahead not long after we spoke last week, but since then, even he's admitted it's totally not an emergency, saying, I could do the wall over a longer period of time. I didn't need to do this, but I'd rather do it much faster. Thoughts, Ed?
I can't think about something as stupid as that. That is the most remarkably unintelligent thing I've ever heard of. You say you have an emergency, you can do it over a longer period of time, then why is it an emergency? This man is incredible.
Well, with 16 states now suing Trump over his proclamation, statements like that, it's hard to see how he can convincingly argue the emergency was genuine.
Well, he can't. And what he's saying is, look, guys, I did the best I could. I failed. I'm throwing this out. I know it'll fail. And please forgive me. That's all he's saying. Apparently, his poll numbers have gone up simply by him testing the waters here. And that's all he's doing. He knows it's a lose. And why he's losing on this one when he's got so many other matters to face is well beyond me or anyone else.
It's an interesting one because obviously this is following through on the so-called promise to his base, the promise of a wall. But the vast majority of people, well, obviously a lot of people didn't want the wall. Even less people wanted him to call a national emergency on the wall. But in the Trump game, trying is good enough rather than succeeding.
Well, he'll claim success because he tried. And of course, the courts and now the Democrats are holding him up. I hope some of the states that are challenging him are Republican.
Meanwhile, former acting FBI Director Andrew McCabe has a book to sell and, of course, has to do some interviews with dramatic tell-all stories about his time in the Trump administration. One concerns Deputy Attorney General Rod Rosenstein, who McCabe claims thought of invoking the 25th Amendment to see Trump out. Trump has called this one a coup.
Well, this is not new news. It's not fake news. Rosenstein, along with the Attorney General himself, thought that the president has lost his marbles. And maybe we should talk to people to see if they want to invoke the 25th Amendment. There's very little news here. It's just that they missed the moment, I think, and that can't come back. But it's not new.
Well, regardless of what happened, using a word like coup for this kind of thinking, or this week tweeting the Mueller investigation team should all be put in jail, although we're kind of inured to it, we hear it over and over again, every once in a while it's worth reminding ourselves Trump's use of language can be fairly outrageous at times.
Well, more than that, it's obstruction of justice. When you use your power of office to obstruct an investigation, I believe that's tantamount from violating the Constitution, violating the law, violating the oath of office, and impeachable. The Democrats don't want to impeach him, though, interestingly enough. Maybe some Republicans do, to save themselves the embarrassment of what will happen when a real election comes along.
The Mueller report, we're hearing the Justice Department could receive it as early as next week, but it's unclear how much of the report Attorney General William Barr will make public. Are we waiting on tenterhooks, Ed?
Well, no. I think there's still some more work to be done here. He still hasn't proven what the connection is between WikiLeaks and the campaign. Roger Stone seems to me to be a very weak connection. And Stone's lies are so many, you don't know where the truth is. Unless Mueller has some clear link between Stone and the campaign, I think Interestingly enough, the president may get off. That doesn't mean his campaign will. And his campaign, the people who've been involved in all this mess, particularly Manafort, seem to be facing long-term jail time. What still bothers me is what's happening to Jeb, what's happening to Kushner, what's happening with Junior, what's happening with the rest of the family. It's just unclear to me what's happening with the principal actors in all of this. I'm not satisfied thus far with where this investigation is.
Roger Stone is actually headed back to court this week over a social media post that appeared pretty blatantly to be threatening the judge presiding over his case. Any thoughts on that one, Ed?
There's nothing in it. Roger is a clown, and he's going to continue to clown. He wants the judge to throw him in jail. Then he'll have another cause to lab. This is just out of control. And I wish Mueller would say, look, I've got the following evidence on this man to shut him up.
It's also worth noting in terms of where the investigation is, if it does release next week, Trump never testified on any of this stuff. They never got him in front of any of the investigators.
Well, no, but he did answer in writing. And his written answers don't stack up with what we know about the events that have come up. For example, who wrote the testimony for his son from the plane? We don't really know. I think Mueller's going to discover, he already knows this is a lie, and he's going to have plenty of people to prove it by. So I'm sure that there's plenty more that can be found out. Whether it's worth the time and the money, I don't know.
Also from McCabe this week, he said Trump openly admitted to believing Putin over U.S. intelligence on the topic of North Korean missiles. I mean, if you can't trust the Russian president, a former distinguished KGB agent after all, who can you trust?
Well, you certainly can't entrust the U.S. intelligence. This is the one. Let's go back to what we were talking about earlier. Why was all this going on? What is the relationship between what he's been trying to do for Putin and what's gone on in the campaign? That's the circle that has to be drawn. Are there financial relationships between Trump and Trump Company and the Russians that are so deep that the president has lied to mask them? And I think that's what's going on. And anything that Putin wants, he will do. And the same thing's true with the Saudi Arabians. These people are deep into his financial empire. And that's probably what's going to come out.
Speaking of North Korea, though, Trump meeting with Kim Jong-un again next week. But even Trump is talking down any expectations of what might be achieved. Expectations already pretty low. What can we expect?
We can expect that he'll come back and say, this is a really nice man. He's promised me all these things. I believe him. And I don't believe anybody who says he's not going to do what he says he's going to do. But this isn't all bad because Kim knows that he can now negotiate with the South Koreans and perhaps the Japanese to get a good deal for himself, using the fact that the President of the United States is now the go-between and is no threat to anybody. So it's not a bad deal for the moment. Putting pressure on the North Koreans, as we were doing, was failing. Maybe this will work. I don't think they're giving up the bomb, but if they enter a relationship with South Koreans and North Koreans start eating for a change, the overthrow is in sight.
Looking to 2020, are we ready to feel the burn again? Bernie Sanders announcing he's back in the race for president and is the current Democratic frontrunner. The man you prefer, Joe Biden, Ed, still hasn't announced anything official. Any thoughts?
Joe is buying his time. He is waiting. Biden is biting. He's waiting to see how this shakes out, who a potential vice president candidate is. I'm not sure why Bernie's in at this point. It could be to keep his message alive. I'm just not sure why he's in, because he didn't even announce with much certainty or anticipation. I guess he just figured if everybody else is in, I'm going to be in too. I got to get something out of it this time because he didn't get anything out of it last time.
I mean, as you say, he might be getting his message out there, pushing the Democrats leftward. I have a hard time imagining him in the VP slot.
No. And I think Ocasio is already farther to the left than he is.
Meanwhile, Obama, it has been said, is making himself available for a friendly word to Democratic candidates, but is going to stay away from endorsements in 2020, even for Biden if he chooses to run. Why is that?
Well, he doesn't want to get in what he got into with Hillary. That by him getting in, he actually did not allow people to inspect the real candidates. Furthermore, he can see how that would be used against any candidate and all candidates and against the party. So he'll wait until the convention's over and then strike in the states where he's needed. And I sure hope the candidate is somebody strong. It doesn't, well, I don't know. Bernie scares me, as do some of the other candidates. But there are some, like Kamala Harris and others, who are scary to Trump, but could really carry it this time for a woman for president.
US of Ed is produced in the studios of 2SER in Sydney. Help support the work we do by going to 2SER.com/support. Ed and I'll be back next week to talk the latest in US news and politics. Subscribe on iTunes and Wooshka to stay up to date, and show us some love on Facebook and Twitter at US of Ed.